Hello and welcome to this Microsoft Virtual Academy course. My name is Morgan Webb. I work at Microsoft as a technical evangelist, and I focus on everything that deals with IT professionals from a product or solution perspective. Today we're going to be looking at application performance monitoring, or otherwise known as APM, where this fits into the business, and as an IT pro, what is the approach I should think about when I look at APM, as well as the long-term benefits for me as an IT professional, as well as the longer look at feel around the business interaction. Let's have a look at the overview for this course and understand the agenda components that we're going to be stepping through, just to position the relevant pieces. So our first piece that we're going to have a look at in the first module is the overview of application performance monitoring. Where does this fit into the business, and what should I think about when I start to look at the designing, usage, and maintenance of APM? We'll then look into module 2, which is application insights, or otherwise known as app insights. Then moving into module 3, understanding that in an existing investment of System Center, what can I use or get out of System Center from an APM perspective? We'll then close off this course in Module 4 with a wrap-up of APM and the relevant tools that are involved, as well as the takeaways that you should use and start to implement within your current role. So if we look at Module 1, the overview of APM, this module will be for us to understand where does APM fit in, and for you to understand the investment you currently have made within tools that you could use for APM, but also to step one level back and understand the approach, possibly design, or the thinking that needs to be brought across when you start to look at application performance monitoring within your environment. So let's have a look at the actual module of flow for today, understand the key components, and then we'll start to step through those key components one by one. So at an overview level, the first piece that we're going to be having a look at is to understand the manage and operate components of applications. What is the approach that we should take when we start to manage and operate an application? But at the same time, what are the benefits that we would get back from managing and monitoring applications internally in our current environment? The second component that we'll have a look at in this module is overcoming the DevOps disconnect. To understand firstly, what is DevOps? And then what is driving this movement so prevalently around the world at the moment? And then where does APM fit into this, and what is my role as an IT professional? The third component will actually allow us to look at a complete APM solution and allow us to think about the server side and client side perspectives when we start to monitor applications. The fourth component in this module will allow us to start to think about the real world, managing the monitoring of applications across multiple cloud scenarios, whether you be in a private cloud, possibly leveraging public cloud, or stretching across both in a hybrid cloud scenario. The last piece of this module will then allow us to start to understand ALM, or application lifecycle management. We will have an overview of ALM and understand the right tools for the job when we start to monitor applications. This will also allow us to do the introduction of Application Insights and System Center as the tools that we can use to monitor applications throughout. So let's have a look at the first component in this module, that around managing and operating applications. What is the approach that one should take as an IT professional? If we want to manage and monitor applications, we have been used to on-premises, traditional environments that we would have managed. Now, with this move to a sort of cloud solution, we could have a mixture of private, public, or possibly have our application stretching across both in a hybrid scenario. What should the approach be when we start to manage these applications? And the first key piece as an IT pro would be to understand what is the model that we currently manage within our infrastructure. Are there any components using public cloud solutions that we might be unaware of? And that can be a very common scenario. As we see more and more adoption of public cloud solutions, many personas in the business or developers are starting to leverage public cloud infrastructure outside of the IT mandate. So now we need to understand as IT professionals, what do we really need to monitor end to end? And as we understand those key pieces, we start to build up and map out a true traditional environment that we're going to start to monitor, whether it be our current private cloud infrastructure with possibly a stretch to public, or separate applications leveraging a public cloud infrastructure but feeding back to components within our traditional data center on-premises. Once we have the approach of understanding those key areas, we can then start to step out and understand what do we need to look after from the beginning. We'll then need to understand if we want to deliver performance around these applications, once we've mapped out the private, the public, and possibly a hybrid stretch, What do we need to do to get the best out of those investments for our developers, for the business, and possibly the users when we start to monitor these applications? These key pieces become quite important because once we've taken that approach to understand the areas of where the applications are going to sit, who are the users that are affected on the other side? It could be the developers themselves, it could be the business themselves, or possibly real-world customers that are using our applications. And ideally, once you understand those key users, we can start to map back and understand what do we need to monitor and tweak from a performance perspective. Once we have the deep app insights into what is going on in our applications, we can start to build up the proper approach of how to monitor those applications. The third component around approach is proactive monitoring, as well as reporting at the application level. As IT pros, we're probably very used to monitoring and reporting around infrastructure. We now need to take that into our approach around APM. Let us have a deep insight into the actual components that make up an application. And let us also understand the benefits of providing proactive reporting back to the relevant users. Again, those users could be real-world customers, or they could be our in-house developers that are always constantly working on newer features or newer subsets of features to an application. If we can provide proactive reporting, it allows them to work on key components that might be failing, have performance issues, or have slight degradation depending on what systems they're interacting with. Then if we can provide reporting to the business, it gives the business a full view of what is actually happening on in production in the applications as they're being used, as well as the fact of, is there areas where we need to increase investments or change capabilities for the applications that our users are interacting with. So that component around reporting and deep insights into the actual monitoring piece allow all relevant parties to get full benefits out of that. So those three areas start to give us the groundwork for the approach that we should take when we want to build out the proper management and operations of applications. However, what would the benefits be if we start to look at a true application performance monitoring? As this world moves forward from an IT pro perspective, there are different layers that start to move outside of our control, whether it be to a true public cloud usage at public cloud deployment of an application, or just subscribing to software as a service that might interact with our on-premises infrastructure. We need to understand there are benefits to these movements. However, we need to also ensure that we are monitoring these key components correctly to make sure we leverage those benefits. If we are monitoring an application that's on a traditional data center, are we monitoring correctly to get the best value out of the infrastructure that is hosting those applications or application? If we are monitoring correctly, we could possibly increase load, make changes, give more benefits to an application developer from a capabilities perspective. If our application is stretching outside of our borders to a public cloud scenario, how do we make sure that the monitoring is done correctly to give us the full value of what we're paying for in a public cloud service? So we need to understand the approach to put the building blocks into play and then map the benefits to using those various scenarios. Because in certain cases, the performance monitoring that we might do might give us a view that we actually need to stretch outside of our private cloud in our data center to a public cloud scenario and reap the benefits of the scale and possibly economics that those solutions might be able to offer us. A second benefit is simplifying the management of those applications. If we are currently sitting in a purely private cloud scenario in our on-premises data center, it becomes a little bit easier to manage that application. But what happens if we start to stretch outside of those borders and we start to leverage solutions that are hosted in a public cloud scenario? How do we simplify the management to ensure that, firstly, the consistency of management is the same, but also to ensure there's a single source of truth for everyone and the relevant parties that are involved in those applications? Whether it be just for us as IT pros to understand the infrastructure, or whether it be to the developer to understand the application layer, or the application interacting with the infrastructure layer. How do we ensure that both parties see the same source of truth around the APM component? If there's alerts or issues or performance problems, how do we ensure that we're all looking at the same knowledge base? We're all looking at the same event alerts. We're all looking at the same reporting to ensure consistency across the management of those different applications. And the other component around the benefits of APM is to ensure that we can move to a single configuration management scenario around our applications. So that if we have consistency across the different stages from an application lifecycle perspective, whether it be purely from development into test, into QA, into prod, maybe possibly pre-prod before that. How do we ensure the configuration is the same across all? And if there's any drift along the way, we would like to be alerted for the infrastructure or the application that might be housed above that. The last component that we need to think about around the benefits is ensuring that the user on the other side has the benefits of not being aware of any issues that might be encountered. How are we alerted, both as an IT pro and a developer, of any issues that need to be repaired? So how do we detect what is going on? How do we ensure that from a problem occurring to the time it's repaired is as quickly as possible or short as possible? And first prize being that the user is unaware of the issue that's been experienced. So that mean time to repair, how do we ensure it is as short as possible? If we have proper in-depth analysis of the application, the infrastructure the application is on, we're able to get a full view of all the key components and the critical key components. So if we do have degradation or true failure, we can remediate as quickly as possible with possibly out any impact to the users on the other side. The last piece around the benefits is actually empowering the owners. In this case, the application owners. Well, this could be a developer, this could be a business owner in certain areas, but they might be respectively owning just a key piece of the application. How do we empower them to understand the full levels of the application and the integration that might be with the infrastructure below, the user above the application, as well as an insight into their area and the respective pieces that their area ties into from an application or infrastructure perspective? So this component now that we've looked at around the approach and benefits to managing an application, to actually understanding how to operate the look and feel of an application, becomes very important. However, if we don't put the building blocks in play correctly in the beginning, so from an approach level, understanding all those key pieces, the key players, and where our application sits, that allows us to map out the benefits that we can show to the relevant parties. If we have in-depth monitoring with in-depth reporting, that'll allow all those key personas to have a full view of the areas they might be responsible for in the applications, as well as in the area that might be responsible for if there's a failure. So the quicker to repair, the less impact will be to the users that are experiencing issue or an outage with our application. So that kind of summarizes the approach that should be taken, the benefits that can come out of APM. Now we start to move across into that discussion about those different personas and those different people. So really from a business perspective, an IT pro perspective, as well as a developer perspective. And that is where this DevOps movement has come from. So let's move across to the slides and understand what really is DevOps. So where does this come from, what is driving it, and what is the view of the different personas that are involved within DevOps? And really, where does ALM fit into this? True application lifecycle management, relevant to all three parties along the way. And then we start to take it to an enterprise model, to understand all those key parties who are impacted by finding a problem, repairing a problem, and possibly ensuring that this problem never occurs, but how do we continuously improve in the cycle the benefits to all personas? Whether I have application benefits that the infrastructure team are able to use, or whether the developers receive the benefits through performance tweaking, performance monitoring, performance changing by the IT pro. And then from an investment perspective, where does the business get the benefits out of in-depth DevOps perspective? So let's understand that now. Let's understand what is DevOps, what is driving it, and from an enterprise perspective, how do we take into key account the whole movement around application lifecycle management? So what is DevOps? So from the slides perspective, there'll be a build out from left to right of four key areas. And the first piece to understand really is the life cycle. That DevOps is an investment from different areas. This investment can be from the business perspective, a monetary investment. I need to invest as a business into this DevOps movement to ensure that my IT pros and my developers have the relevant tools they need to help with the application lifecycle management. And as an IT pro, I would need to invest in my communication and working with developers. Let me understand the true nature of an application or applications that I need to look after and support in production. And as a developer, how do I feed back proactive thoughts, changes, modifications to my IT professionals? And how do I possibly use what they're monitoring to my benefits to work on feature sets or capabilities or repairing the application component? So all three personas have a reason to invest in this DevOps movement. and ensuring that the application lifecycle flow is continuous and has a benefit to all three areas, all three personas in their relevant areas. The second piece to have a look at is that DevOps really is a team undertaking. We speak around three personas, the business, the developers, and the IT professionals. Within each three of those personas, there are teams, whether it be operations, having a variety of support members, whether it be developers with different development teams with working on certain feature sets in an application, or whether it be the business with different stakeholders who are involved in different areas of an application or applications. There are different teams that need to collaborate, work together, and understand this DevOps movement within your enterprise. But together, all three personas need to collaborate in all stages of the cycle of application lifecycle management. And there has to be clear trust between all three personas to ensure that there are benefits out of this DevOps movement. The third component to have a look at is to understand that DevOps enables better software development and delivery practices. So from a software development perspective, if I have true DevOps running within my enterprise, I have interaction, I have continuous loops, continuous feedback into the cycle of the application. As a developer, I can start to leverage those benefits to improve my application, improve the next version of the application, allow for quicker turnout, allow for quicker run-throughs of application deployment, and allow for quicker adding or removing of feature sets and capabilities within an application. Moving away from traditional longer release cycles to become a lot shorter, if you can get down to daily, weekly, those changes allow for a lot of increased productivity around the application development. Then we take it across to the enterprise operations, the team that need to deliver the support of those applications. If we start to truly enhance the benefits of working in a DevOps environment, this starts to show us the benefits of what we're supporting and providing the feature sets back to developers for their enablement of software development. And the last area to look at is the ultimate goal that we would like to get to as an enterprise. The fact that if we start to really work within a DevOps movement, we can accelerate that last mile of continuous delivery, ensuring that developers are able to push out changes, feature sets, as quickly as possible without a negative impact to the user on the other side, or without a negative impact to the operations team who need to support the actual application once it's in production. So those four areas that we've had a look at now are the key pieces to think about of where DevOps really is staged, what the structure around the DevOps thinking is, as well as the movement and all three personas and the roles they play within DevOps. But what really is driving DevOps? So let's have a look at the cycle in the slide now. This view that we have over here is looking at application lifecycle management from a Microsoft perspective and the key areas that we would want to understand as we go through our course today. In the middle, you have development and production and three figurines there as personas. But collaboration is a key piece to the center of that graphic. What we'll do now is build out the flow and understand what really is driving this movement or this framework cycle. So the first area to understand is that agile methodologies are accelerating the construction process in the development stage already. Developers are wanting to work quicker. Developers are seeing the value and understanding the benefits of working faster. However, traditionally have been hampered or slowed down or restricted by operations. So ideally, this has led to developers working outside of the IT teams to pull in new features, new changes, new repairs, new updates to their applications. An automated release process is really a key component to firstly pull together true application lifecycle management, but also the key area to ensure that there is standards around configuration management, to ensure there's proper authorization around process of releasing an application from one stage to the next, ensuring that when code moves from development stage to another stage, to production, there's authorization, there's clear flow along the way, and also ensure there's standards around the configuration across those different environments. The third piece is from an operations perspective is the availability and performance issues that we've always been used to from a troubleshooting perspective, from a support perspective. How do we start to deal with the current way we handle calls, the current ways that we look at alerts, the ways that we deal with production problems, and how do we start to bring those into the real world of fast-changing application development? And those are three areas that have always had reasons for those teams between operations and developers to work together. And these are three key areas that need to be understood when we look at the application lifecycle management. So now what we'll do is we'll take those key components, this cycle, and we'll build out the relevant stages of the application lifecycle management. And the first one really to consider is that once we understand the usage of how applications are working, we can start to feed them back. So when developers start to work through their first stage, they'll have a full view of those key areas within their environment. And the piece to understand here is that once we have proactive working across all three personas, development, the operations, plus the overarching business, we start to have a very agile movement within the enterprise. So let's take that thinking now and move across into enterprise DevOps and the benefits and the key thinking that needs to be undertaken by the relevant personas. The first piece is reducing mean time to detect or mean time to detection. How do we bring down when we know there's a problem that's occurred or going to occur in production and a problem that's going to impact our users? How do we reduce that time to ideally know about the issue before our users experience it? We know about the issue before the user logs a call, requests a call, or starts to escalate and put something on social media that there's a problem being experienced. How do we get one step ahead? And the key piece here is we need to have a 360-degree view between that whole application lifecycle management of all the key components. If we think back to the approach and the benefits that we spoke around monitoring and managing applications, if we start to have a full 360 view, we understand all the key areas. We understand the key components. So if we have any degradation or issues along the way, we can pull those out, understand them, and understand the knock-on effect that might have to the application within our enterprise. Understanding the service availability through GSM, or Global Service Monitoring. If we have external facing applications through our websites or from our users' perspective into our websites, how do we get true view of the experience the user is having from around the world? And we'll drill deeper into that as we go through our different modules today around having real-world information around user experience from outside of our environment. The last piece around reducing mean time to detection is understanding that we need to have automatic alerts whenever an application is not responding. There is no point having reactive monitoring. We need to have proactive to perform an alert and alert the relevant personas that are involved with that key area of the application that might be having an issue. So if we can start to build out the approach with the building blocks, understand the key team members, the key areas they're looking at in an application, the infrastructure or the app that's dependent on that, we can start to build in proactive alerting to alert just those key people, opposed to the traditional model of putting out an alert that goes to many personas or many people, and often leading to some false alerts or false detection or taking a long time to actually address those alerts, thinking that another team or another person is dealing with that. So if we take those few points into play, having a full view of the application, understanding who's responsible in the certain areas, what is the user's view and experience from outside of our application, and then if we are detecting any issues, proactively alerting the relevant people that are responsible for that area that we have detected an issue within the application. This then leads us across to how long would it take to repair the issue, the mean time to repair, or mean time to resolution. So we've found the issue, we've now alerted the relevant personas or people that are involved. How quickly does it take us to resolve that issue? Now that'll always depend on the issue, whether it's a true large infrastructure problem that we've found, maybe whether it's a small piece of code that can be repaired on the fly or quickly with a fix. That'll always depend on the scale and time. However, we want to reduce that as quickly as possible, at the same time deal with the root cause issue that has actually impacted our infrastructure or application that is housed on top of that infrastructure. From the detection to the repair, how do we start to work with those diagnostic testing that we can possibly have in our infrastructure? How do we start to get a real view of testing our infrastructure and ensuring that we are not going to experience problems, or once a problem has been experienced, we can reduce how long it takes to actually resolve that issue? So once we've found the issue, once we've detected it, once we've repaired it, how do we work in that third piece to continuously improve? How do we ensure that this doesn't happen again? Or if it does happen again, the resolution is quicker, the time to find the problem is shorter, and the time for the user to actually know about the problem could get to non-existent. So the continuously improving piece is to actually work out continually what is actually happening. Let's trend our infrastructure. Let's understand performance. Let's understand the impacts, certain times of the day, certain times of the week, certain times of the month or the year. How do we cater for a demand that we might understand in our infrastructure to ensure that we don't experience these problems again? At the same time, from a trending perspective, when we build out our approach to understand the key personas, what is their view on what those trends should be? And what is their view of knowing about trends that us as operations might be totally unaware of? Do they have regularly, weekly, monthly impacts that they have not made us aware of? How do we cater for that? How do we scale depending on those environments or impacts those environments are going to experience when those components run? And how do we prioritize those new features, bug fixes, and possibly a strategic way forward when it comes down to improving our infrastructure? So if we are finding problems and we're feeding back into our development teams, how do we make the life cycle shorter for releasing bug fixes? When do we release them? How do we release them? In our approach, we've built out who the owners are of the certain areas of our application infrastructure. When we're releasing a bug that's going to impact their area, what is the approach that we should have with them? What time do we do it? When do we do it? How do we cater for any failure for the release of a bug? At the same time, when we're dealing with reactive, how do we deal with proactive as development and the business who's driving them push out new features, new capabilities? What do we need to do from a deployment perspective? What do we need to cater for when we start to handle these new features? And what would the impact be if there's any rollback required along the way? And then feeding back into the business on the strategy forward. All the lessons learned around detecting problems, resolving problems, trying to improve with features and bug fixes. How do we take the correct direction around ensuring that these are quickly enabled as in our environment, as well as shortened around how long it takes to roll out a bug fix, a hot fix, or a new feature that might be out. Always ensuring that this loop around continuous improvement is there. Now we've learned a little bit around the ALM framework. We understand more around what is DevOps, what's driving it. But now what really is a continuous APM solution? This now deals with the impact from a server-side perspective as well as a client-side perspective. So if we look at the first point in this section of the module around server-side, monitoring the actual code that is executed and delivered by the application. And that's that thin layer on top of our infrastructure. How do we know what's going on at the code level? How do we have a view into that code and what it's actually doing? Whether it be from a performance perspective, whether it be from an exception perspective, what is actually going on at the level that sits above our infrastructure that we manage as an operations team? Then we look at the other side, the client side. And in the previous section, we mentioned client side could be actual customers outside of our enterprise. But those client side could also be UAT testers. They could be developers themselves who are working with the application. For us as operations, those are our clients or our customers. All of those key areas, external as well as internal. And how do we understand the experience that that user is going through? Whether it be simple things like page load, whether it be more deeper, lower level things around network server latency between our relevant data centers, between data centers around the world. How do we cater for those key experiences that we might be totally unaware of that our users are experiencing? And how do we deal with the exceptions as well? So we're looking after the network. We're looking after the infrastructure above the network. We have a view of the code above that. Now, what happens if we experience any exceptions along the way? How do we proactively monitor that and feed that back into our loop around the infrastructure deployment? So that starts to give us a view of the complete APM solutions that we would be working with. Now we take it to the next area, which is the real world. Understanding that our traditional operation support might be stuck in a traditional physical data center. That is our kit we look after, we manage, and we understand and work with. How do we now incorporate that move around public cloud? Are we having applications hosted by public cloud providers? Do we even know about those applications that might be hosted? Or possibly just a service that's talking to our backend infrastructure? In the approach section to APM and deploying and understanding application performance monitoring, we start to map out all those key layers. The physical in our data center, the possibly public piece that might be sitting on top of that with a hosting provider, or a hybrid scenario if we were across both. What are the key areas that we need to think about when we start to monitor the relevant components that make up those applications? So this slide now is going to bring out the explanation of what we need to think about as our approach works. And the first piece is the private section, the private cloud. Your on-premises traditional data center that you know and have loved for the last how many of decades. If we look at this first slide piece, you understand the infrastructure, the platform might be housing the application, plus the application layer above that. Then we take that across into the public cloud scenario, where now we don't have much infrastructure to look after. We have the public cloud provider. We'll have a few layers that we might be responsible for. Maybe it's the OS, plus the runtime, plus the application. It could possibly just be the application that's hosted above the runtime, or it could purely be the service that we are subscribing to at the public cloud provider. And the third scenario, which is becoming a very, very true real-world scenario, is the hybrid cloud scenario, a mixture of private and public, where all of a sudden I need to understand my infrastructure that is on-premises, plus the platform that is on top of that infrastructure and houses the application. And then alongside that, do I have any public cloud services that are relevant to the application layer above public and private? And these three areas now start to give us a view from a private, public, and hybrid scenario. Then when we build our approach out, these are the three areas we need to consider around what are we really looking after? What do I really own? And has there been any case of shadow IT? A very common term that is becoming very relevant now with this move to public cloud. A scenario where me as operations, I'm either restricted, or I am securing my on-premises data center and not allowing my developers to enable or work as quickly as possible in an agile environment. And developers are starting to work around IT in a shadow IT role and paying for and building out and delivering public cloud services where the application is going to be housed. So as IT, you need to consider these three areas. Understand the benefits, understand the approach to the benefits of monitoring them, and also understand who the owners are in those relevant areas. We now go across and understand in the ALM framework, what really are the tools that I would use to now monitor what I'm looking after. At the same time, from a Microsoft perspective, what are the key investment areas I might have already made or need to make depending on the infrastructure I'm looking after. So if we think back to the last slide around the three scenarios, private, public and hybrid, what really are the tools that I would use for those relevant monitoring locations? If I'm purely private on premises, what would I use? If I'm stretching across to public and I'm looking after both, do my current tool sets allow me to do that? Do my current investments in the tool sets allow me to have a full view that is unique across both, opposed to having different consoles, different tools, different reporting structures, depending on private, public or a hybrid scenario? And this is where we start to look at the introduction to the Microsoft toolsets around Application Insights and System Center. Where do the investment areas that Microsoft is making give me the benefit as an operations person? A benefit that I can pass back to my developers or the business who's made the investment in the tools or the applications and infrastructure that we're responsible for. And this is the understanding now where we will start to spend time looking at Application Insights as well as System Center. Do I have either or? Do I use both? And what do I get from a roadmap perspective from Microsoft view across those different tool sets? And where would I possibly have to make investments or requirements for investments in the right tools for monitoring those areas? So to close all this piece around the framework, let's move back again now to that slide that we spoke around where the personas fit in, the collaboration between development and operations, the thinking behind becoming more agile, dealing with real-world problems, and feeding the loop back from an ALM perspective. Now we take this graphic, the slide, and we understand the relevant stages that are involved, whether it be planning, development and test, the release, or the monitoring section. Those four stages are the key areas in the ALM framework. And in each area, we're encouraging developers and IT operations to interact closer, to work together, and start to build up that word trust that I mentioned when we spoke around the DevOps disconnect. And then as the business, having the overarching view of what is actually going on in the life cycle of my application. So if we take the first piece around planning, so no actionable and contextual info to resolve an incident. The common issue that developers deal with, an application has broken in production, users have been impacted, operations is trying to fix, operations is coming back to us as developers, and trying to resolve the issue as quickly as possible. However, without deep insights into where the issue has occurred, what has actually gone wrong? Is it performance? Is it an exception? Is it code? Is it the platform or is it the infrastructure below the platform that might be the issue? It becomes very hard for developers to resolve operational incidents as quickly as possible without true insights into what the problem has occurred. Then we go across into the next bug point or area, is between development and test and moving into production and the release of code, having inconsistent releases or a chaotic release. So I go from a development, a testing, a pre-prod environment that I manage as a developer, and I move my code across into production, and I have an inconsistent release around the configuration of the infrastructure or the platform. That can impact at a performance level or an exception level my application. So how do I build in a release cycle that allows me to have a consistent configuration management layer across all of my relevant stages, from development into production? Then as we go across into the operations, how do we allow them to quickly detect and resolve an application issue? We spoke around mean time to detect and mean time to resolve or repair. That is the key area that operations are concerned about. Why? Well, they have SLAs that need to be met. The business or the customers that might be external will hold them responsible to the agreed SLAs. So as operations, we want to have deep insight into what is going on at the code level to ensure that we can troubleshoot and either fix the problem ourselves or pass it back to developers to help us remediate and fix that issue as quickly as possible. But when I move the code as a developer through the different stages into production, as operations, I would want to understand that my configuration is standard. I would want to empower the developers with the relevant tools to ensure the configuration is standard, whether it be scripting, whether it be third-party investment of tools that integrate with Microsoft tools. I would want to enable the developer to have a standard configuration management layer across all of those stages. Then we move into the kind of move of a proactive perspective. How do I start to get away from inconsistent tracking and management of incidents that have occurred in production? How do I build in a consistent layer? As operations, I have my tool set. I have a view of what I'm managing, what I'm looking after in my infrastructure. How do I give my developers or the business a view into that? How do I give them an understanding of what is going on? How do I allow them to, from a dashboard, from a console perspective, interact with events that might have occurred? And how do I get a view that we're all looking at the same reporting? We're all looking at the same infrastructure incidents. We're all looking at the same events that might have been logged. Whether good or bad, it's consistent across our different management tool sets. And then how do we start to proactively pass that across back to the next cycle? Whether it be the next version of an application, the next increment of an application, or a bug fix that might be required. How do I prioritize those key pieces? As a developer, if I understand where those issues have occurred, why those issues have occurred, and I have insight into that, that allows me to push out quicker fixes, push out quicker updates that might be required. But also, do I start to list those fixes higher as a priority perspective to new features that we might be working on? Or am I going to have this inconsistent view where features always trump a fix and leading back to a negative cycle around application management? So this view that we have over here now starts to give a strategy for developers and operations to understand where they should interact closer. It also allows the business to drive that interaction as much as possible, ensuring there's collaboration through all the different stages, whether it be in the planning stage and IT operations start to give input into infrastructure. So as an operations person, these are our limits in the data center. In the planning stage, are we going to start using public cloud services? Or does the business need to make investment for us to expand our data center? If we understand the application needs, as operations, we can provide the relevant infrastructure. Then as we get to the development section, how do we ensure that as an operations person, I can give consistent configuration across all the systems that developers might need? How do I automate the provisioning of systems? And how do I automate the deprovisioning of systems to ensure developers always have the relevant resources available when they need them? In so doing, enabling developers to become more agile in the cycles leading up to a release. And then when we go across to release, how do we give insight into the applications for developers? How do we allow them to see what the code is doing? Is it a performance on the infrastructure? Is it performance at the code level? Is it insight into exceptions that might be occurring that not even the users are aware of, but it's having a knock-on effect to an application down the line somewhere else? And pulling back, How do we proactively pull those pieces together to ensure the life cycle has a true continuous flow around improvements as well as delivery for those different areas? Let's move across now to the last piece of this module, and this is where we're going to build in where does application insights and system center fit in. So if we move back to that model again that we spoke about earlier in the different slide around private, public, and hybrid scenarios, we understand the key areas around private, our own infrastructure, the platform above it, and the application might be housed on that area. This is where application insights and System Center 2012 R2 play a key role. So on a private cloud environment, your own data center environment, where does System Center fit in? Have I made the investment in System Center? Has the relevant tools been deployed out into my environment? Where can I leverage those pieces as a developer or as an IT pro? And how would I use application insights to give me a view into what is actually going on in my environment? Then we look at the public cloud scenario. And understand that the infrastructure and platform might be not ours to own or manage, but we might want a view into what is actually happening at the application layer. And this is where application insights plays a key area for Microsoft. Again, the benefit of a public cloud service, that is application insights, we have in-depth view for feature sets and changes that can come through for us to monitor applications as Microsoft makes those changes and releases. Then we look at the third scenario, which is the hybrid scenario. And this is the key area that Microsoft plays a key differentiator across the market around true application performance monitoring. We allow you to look at your on-premises plus public or across both in a hybrid scenario. So as we step through the different modules, after module one, we will look at application insights. We'll have a view in what is app insights, where does it play a key role across those three areas now, and then we'll step into module three on System Center and understand where does System Center play a role in application performance monitoring, and what is the integration and roadmap for both tool sets from a Microsoft perspective. So in summary, to kind of close off this module, we've had a view into why should we want to monitor applications. What should the approach be as a developer, as an IT pro? What would the benefits come out of APM? And what are the scenarios I need to think about as I start to manage applications? If it's a public cloud, private cloud, or hybrid scenario, as a developer or IT pro, what should I think about? Then tying that back into the DevOps discussion and ensuring there's less of a disconnect or no disconnect between developer operations as well as the business in managing an enterprise DevOps movement. Then we drill down a little bit deeper into the flow of application lifecycle management. As an application moves through various cycles or stages within ALM, what are the key pain points that developers and operations deal with? Then how do we start to build in using the tools to address those pain points? And ideally pull back proactive work in those different scenarios, or sorry, different stages, whether it be planning, development, the actual monitoring, or learning as we've released applications out into production. And as the last piece showed us now, the tools are relevant. Application Insights or System Center, or both used in conjunction depending on the scenarios that we need to deploy applications to or the infrastructure we need to monitor as an operations team. So hopefully this module has given you a view of application performance monitoring, the thinking pieces, what we're trying to address, the key areas within the actual DevOps movement, as well as the tools that allow us to monitor and manage applications depending on the scenarios that we're having a look after. So now we'll go from module one and we'll step into module two around application insights and understand those key areas. So we'll join you across in module two.